Thank you for joining me again today. And as we have been learning this week on God is righteous. God is righteous. And what is miraculous and marvelous is that God makes us righteous as we put our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. We have come to this word righteous or righteousness in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The Bible says this, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." You have heard me read this phrase, and therefore you heard me read, the righteousness of God. Indeed, God is righteous, and then, in saving us from our sin, he makes us righteous in order that our relationship with him is right. That's how I defined righteousness for us. I've said that righteousness is God making you right with God. Righteousness is God making you right with God. It's a word that is not easily defined, but I have done my best to make it clear, succinct, and understandable without losing any of its impact in our lives. And I've been building off of this definition 4 points made from the biblical text. First, we all require Christ's righteousness. Second, Christ makes us righteous. And third, we are made righteous through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And then fourth, we must kill any attempt at being self-righteous. Today, I want to add to what I said yesterday about being self-righteous by checking in with the Apostle Paul. It's very important that as we make our way through Romans, we remember who wrote this letter to the saints at Rome. He is the Apostle Paul, and the content of his letter comes out of his personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not writing academically or somehow distancing himself from what he writes about as if he's a scientist in a lab working with a specimen that's out on the table but gets put away at the end of the day. No, Paul lives what he writes. Paul has personally received the righteousness of God. He has received the righteousness of Christ. And this is what I want you to see in his letters. So I'll begin in his letter to the Philippians. If you have your Bible handy, turn with me to the New Testament book of Philippians and chapter 3. I will read from verses 5 and 6. This is an autobiographical portion of his letter that must be understood in order to really know who Paul is. I come back to this so often in my own life and certainly in my study of who Paul was. Listen now as Paul describes his early life when he was still named Saul, S-A-U-L. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Paul is saying, this is who I was. Paul was a proud Pharisee, and outwardly he kept the law of God as revealed to the Israelites in our Old Testaments. As a Hebrew boy, he was circumcised according to the law on the eighth day. Not only was he born an Israelite, but he came from the tribe of Benjamin. I wish I had more time to develop this today. And I'd take you back into the Old Testament and talk about how the tribe of Benjamin was an elite tribe out of the 12 tribes of Israel. But for today, I'll put it this way. Paul's family comes from good stock. He has a very attractive heritage. Furthermore, Paul stresses he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. Both of his parents were Jews, so deeply committed to Judaism that they kept all of its traditions, even though they lived and raised little Saul outside of Israel. He was born and raised in the city of Tarsus, and Tarsus was in the Roman province of Cilicia. On top of all of this, as we have seen before, Paul, being a righteous Jew, was zealous. He was a persecutor of the church. Was he ever? He ambushed Christ followers, bound them, arrested them, and saw that they were killed for their faith in Jesus. And so Paul has every reason to believe that his self-righteousness has won him favor and acceptance from God. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. This is impressive, right? And notice what he writes about in verse 6. I really want you to see this. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Wow. Paul is saying, I even met the high standards that God Almighty gave in his law. I was blameless. I kept it perfectly. I mean, if you were to have known me then, you would have been very impressed with how obedient I was to the letter of the law. I was not just a Pharisee. I was the best that the Pharisees had to offer. I was top of the class. I was Pharisee of the year. Nobody could equal me when it came to self-righteousness. I met God's standard. In my own strength and within my own power, I was right with God. Now remember, Paul is writing about his past. In Romans 1, he is writing after his conversion to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul now understands better than we do what I have said the last few days. Righteousness is God making you right with God. And then I made 4 points. First, we all require Christ's righteousness. Second, Christ makes us righteous. Third, we are made righteous through our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And fourth, we must kill any attempt at being self-righteous. In fact, I got these 4 points from Paul. The apostle understands this because of what Jesus said about the Pharisees and true righteousness. And keep in mind what Paul has written in Philippians 3, and follow me backwards now in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. You've got to circle this in your Bible when you have opportunity to do so. Matthew 5 and verse 20, Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Oh, this is so crucial to our understanding of righteousness. Let me read the words of Jesus again. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And note the word surpasses. Think of this in light of Philippians 3. This is what Paul himself was doing. Jesus was saying to men like the old Saul, if you think that your righteous deeds, your self-righteous acts, things like being circumcised on a certain day, being from a certain tribe, practicing the law, being a Pharisee and persecuting the church, if you think they are winning you any merit or favor with God, you think these things make you right with God. Well, this is all just self-righteousness, and you do not understand righteousness. Your legalism is going to damn you. It cannot save you. In the verse, Jesus said, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The only way that God considers a man or a woman righteous is through the righteousness of Christ applied to that man or woman's life. That's it. Jesus says, you are not made righteous by your own works. You are made righteous only by me. And by me, he means himself, Jesus. It's like later in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, when Jesus said, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Jesus knows that we cannot attain perfection in our own person. Of course, he knows that. So what's he saying? Jesus means that the standard of God for righteousness is perfection, and no one can meet it. Therefore, if God is to consider a person righteous, then it's only because Jesus supplies the righteousness, and this is the very mission that God the Father has given Jesus the Son in the world, to die on a cross not only to forgive our sins, that's subtraction, to take away our sins, but also to provide everyone who believes in Jesus righteousness. That's addition, to add righteousness to the believer. And I'll say more about this next time. Listen to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, and I'll read this from the King James Version of the Bible. Titus is another of Paul's letters, and listen to this. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." That could not be any more direct. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. That is not how Paul was made righteous. That is not how you are made righteous. That is not how I am made righteous. Again, I circle back to my definition. Righteousness is God making you right with God. God does it. We do not do it. Our righteousness is a ministry of God. We have to get this. We must understand this. And so, next week, I'll keep us in this first half of Romans 1, verse 17. And please join me as we continue to learn that God is righteous and as we continue to learn how he makes us righteous. Well, what struck you from our week together? Do you have a question? Is there something you do not understand? Have I lacked clarity? Would you please write to me this weekend with your question, your comment, and or your concern? Please do. Just pop me an email. My email address, which many of you know by now, is mark@markaswallow.com. I'll spell it. mark@markaswallow.com. I value two-way communication. Obviously, I need to do all the talking on the air, but I'm happy to strike up a conversation off-air with you. I have some stimulating dialogue going on now with some other listeners, and I think we're all benefiting from what we're learning about who God is. We all learn best when we can talk together about what the Bible says. So I really encourage you to write to me. There literally are no dumb questions that you can ask. In fact, I think the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. I'm here to resource you in your own understanding of who God is, so please don't hesitate to talk with me. And I don't share on the air any listener questions or conversations without permission, so whatever you write is safe with me. So come on, New England, don't be shy or forgetful. Move over to your keyboard or phone and send me a note, mark@markaswallow.com. I trust that whoever you are, and wherever or however you may be listening, that you'll enjoy your weekend. Mothers, enjoy your day on Sunday. We'll be celebrating with my mom. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're physically able, be in a gospel-believing and Bible-preaching church this weekend, and then join me again on Monday, for God is...